exciting.
Welcome to PDGA Radio with Grant Zellner and Jennifer Allen as we take just a few minutes to sort of recap the 2023 season. Jen, you are still recovering literally and physically from the grind that was the season, especially toward the latter portions of it with the various majors. You played in a Masters major mixed in there, plus Worlds, plus U.S. Women's, plus Throw Pink, plus the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship, which you survived all the way until the final day and changed your, I mean, you're what, cough drops and special tea for you?
Yeah, it was a long first rough week back. I think my body finally just like hit its max. Possibly could have caught something on one of those flights coming home too, but I was glad that if I was going to get sick, it was after it was all said and done. So yes, I've been down for a full week, but that's kind of, I mean, I almost feel like most of us needed a full week off to recover. Like you said, it was almost the whole end of the season, those last month or maybe even more, like 6 weeks to 8 weeks, every event was 4 days. Mm-hmm. Like you're really legit major after major after major. And if they weren't a major, it was like a major. And that's a nonstop grind that we don't give not only our physical body a break, but our mental mind a break. Mm-hmm. And it's a heavy grind that definitely wears you down after a while.
It's wild the way, like that's 25% more playing. And then, and that doesn't sound like much, but when you do it 5 weeks in a row, it really grinds. And I can say from the perspective of other people that are out there running the shows, it was a grind on them too. The ones that travel with the tour, you know, it's not maybe the same kind of grind, but it's a grind.
Those camera crews, I feel sorry, yeah. Sorry for them as well, because not only are they out there walking with us the whole round, but then they go back and they edit, and then they go back and they commentate, mm-hmm. and then they wake up the morning and it's starting over again. I don't really know if everyone understands just how much goes into all of this. So it's a not much sleep, and there's definitely not a lot of going out and sightseeing and having a blast, unless you just skip a practice day. And right. that's hard to do when there's so much on the line. You really, this is our job and we try to take it very seriously. And it's nonstop for quite a while.
The hot topic on podcasts, disc golf podcasts, of which there are now so many, and other media related to disc golf right now, of course, is one form or another, a season recap. And there are awards beginning to be voted on. You know, end of the year awards, player of the year, rookie of the year, things like that you can expect from the PDGA. The Disc Golf Pro Tour gives out some tour-centric awards that are sort of in the similar vein. There are all kinds of recaps going on, but Jennifer and I wanted to take at least a few minutes to give credit where it's due for the year that 2023 was, and just sort of talk about some things that we will remember about this season from our unique perspectives. Jennifer, of course, being a player literally inside the ropes, and me being sort of a, I say this tongue in cheek, professional observer.
Close to the ropes.
Someone close to the ropes, right? Someone with a little bit more access maybe than the average bear. I don't know, but that doesn't make me special, but maybe I saw a thing or two more than others. And so we wanted to just give that a few minutes of our time on this episode of PDGA Radio. So let's start where we kind of left off, Jen. Around a month ago, we spent some time talking about a couple of the recent events at that time, which ended with U.S. Women's. So now let's go. The next big event after U.S. Women's was Throw Pink and USDGC. Let's start with Throw Pink, Holland Handley. You know, Throw Pink is an A tier, but it's a big A tier, and it definitely feels
like a major. Yeah.
And it certainly gets the attention of an event that is bigger than it looks on paper, and for good reason. That's an incredible venue, and it's a well-run event, a very well-run event. And there's all the attention already on that site. So Holland Handley breaking through That's a big deal.
Yeah, she has been so close all year long. And she, I mean, it came down to a playoff. And so it was a very close battle. She took it on the 17th, wherein Kristen threw OB. So very exciting. Yeah, the 25th anniversary of USDGC there. Innova does an incredible job. And every year, JP just tries to take that to the next level. So just the atmosphere there, whether you're a spectator, a volunteer, or a player, I think all of us get this incredible experience there. So very special place for Holland to take down her first big win. And the talent is the best players in the world, right? Like, it's invitation only. Mm-hmm. So just to even cash there is very difficult because it's just the elite players, just like the Disc Golf Pro Tour finals or championships. Here at the end of the year, you better bring your A game, whether you're tired or not, because you're playing only against the best. So that was an incredible win for Holland to accomplish.
And speaking of a playoff, it didn't require a playoff this year, but if you remember, a couple of years ago, Kyle Klein was in a USDGC playoff with Paul McBeth, lost in that playoff on hole number one. And I say lost, but I mean, he won second place. I mean, come on, seriously, that sounds terrible to say lost. So he won, earned second place, and now gets a little bit of redemption, gets to finally get to the top of the mountain first. And really, it wasn't super nail biting really for Kyle, which I also think was kind of nice given what he'd already had historically at this venue. So Kyle Klein, USDGC champion.
Yeah. And to think that he had pretty much no pressure. I mean, I guess anything could happen on 17 and 18 there at Winthorpe, but I think I looked at the scores and at one point he had like what, 7-8 stroke lead. And so what a way to really be able to enjoy every last second and take in this incredible moment of winning USDGC. Like, it's one of the greatest accomplishments I think that the men feel like they can achieve. So congratulations to Kyle on taking that one down.
I'm not mistaken, right? That's 2 years in a row that the winner of USDGC was a first time major Correct. Winner, but also a first time winner at any event of that. You know what I'm saying? Like Pro Tour or Elite or right?
Possibly. I would hate to say yes without actually researching that. Notes. But definitely the last two winners at USDGC are first time winners. Gannon Burr taking that down last year. And, you know, previously to that, out of 24 years, I guess, of last year, you know, there was 15 winners, I believe, total. So out of 25 years, there was only 15 winners who had ever won it. So there's so many repeats. Yeah. So to have back-to-back years that brand new winners taking it down is pretty cool.
Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship, of course, followed USDGC and Throw Pink and wrapped up that season. And I know the Pro Tour is not a huge topic on this podcast just because it's a big topic on so many others. So we try to, you know, carve ourselves out a little bit of a different niche, but it would be remiss. We would be remiss to not talk about the season's end that Missy Gannon and Ricky Wysocki had. They both had interesting paths to get to their season. Now let's start with Missy. I mean, Missy Gannon, everybody giggled for a long time at the Big Money Missy nickname. And it's so true. Nobody's laughing now.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with being able to play your best when the biggest money is on the line. So that's hats off to Missy to really just focusing and playing her best golf with the high pressure stakes. So I think she won almost half of her year's earnings in that one event. So pretty cool. And that's probably why she gets that nickname.
And we should mention, of course, you know, a lot of the biggest money events are in the latter portions of the season. So it also speaks to Missy and the fact that she's able to surge at the same time that a lot of players maybe are beginning to run out of gas a little bit. I mean, everybody's running out of gas a little bit, but Missy is able to build her season and peak at the right time and has proven able to do that now multiple years in a row. So that's also sort of a trait, I think, of Missy's. Then you have another player who peaked late, but they had to peak late because they didn't have a choice. They were out early in the season, talking about Ricky Wysocki, you know, out due to injury for big portions of the early 2023 year, and then able to come in. Maybe I got a chance to ask him, do you actually feel just a little bit more rested than you normally would in, say, August and early September? And he said, I'd be lying if I didn't say yes. I've just got a few less miles on me. I'm tired just like everyone else, but maybe not as tired. And here Ricky is repeating.
Yeah. Yeah. Took it down back to back years. Again, just an incredible tournament to win, not only for the money, but just putting in that these are the championships that you worked all year long to get, to even have the chance to play in, and then to take that down is a huge accomplishment. And hopefully that makes him, you know, forget about missing some of the tournaments at the beginning of the year that he was unable to compete in. So congrats to Rick for bringing down another championship.
Well, let's stay on topic of highlighting player performances for 2023. We know, of course, I mentioned it earlier, there's going to be awards that go out that recognize a handful of players. Like I said, DGPT does these. And of course, the PDGA's annual awards are a really big deal. Those will be announced in 2024, talking about 2023 players. But other players of note for the year, let's talk about the big finish of another tour that just occurred last weekend, Jen, on the European tour. The Andalusian Open capped off their year on the other side of the pond. And some names that you've probably heard of took down that championship. First of all, let's talk Silva Saarinen, a multi-time winner on that tour and a player that made some noise here in the United States at some events too, when she was able to get over here and play. Have you gotten to play any or even gotten to chat with Silva very much, Jen?
I have not chatting. Her English is, she's not comfortable with it yet. So she is just now starting to kind of communicate back a little bit, but I played actually with Silva her very first time she came over to the US for the Music City Open. And I immediately, even though she was not having her best round, she was not prepared. We had horrible rain and bad conditions, and she had no umbrella and no caddy. And she just had this grind that was just different. Like you did not see it really get to her. And she continued to throw these incredible shots in every way she could. And so this young talent from Europe is going to be a name. I've been saying it all year long that we will know she will be one of the top female European players, without a doubt. She has my vote definitely for female player, rookie of the year. Not too many rookies have just taken down five huge events. So I think she hopefully will earn that very easily. And then we had someone who caddied for a lot of wins and was able to take down his big win with Silver Lat, who was able to win on the MPO side. And I think a tight little battle towards the end as well.
The newly engaged Silver
Lat. Newly engaged. Yeah. So he's a double win there towards the end of the season.
No doubt about it. So Silver takes down the Andalusian Open. And, you know, that's I feel very glad for him just because I've gotten to interact with him so much. Like you said, though, Jen, often he's on the bag but he does play in events and had some really good showings. But I'm glad that he gets the spotlight a little bit. But let's go ahead and stay in the family, as they say. we can't not highlight Kristen Tatar, first of all, for the PDGA Major Grand Slam. Have to reference that, otherwise we're not doing our job as PDGA radio. So that's a big deal. But also, and Jen, you prompted me to make sure to look this up and get the number right. The 2023 tour winnings for Kristen Tatar, ready for this? $116,000.
Yeah, it's incredible. To me, this just shows where our game is going. Like, congratulations to Kristen, but I also love just the fact that it's proving how much our game is going in the right direction. Not that it's all about the money, but that just shows the growth of the sport. So I was super excited to see that and just to see a female athlete winning that kind of money. I mean, there's a lot of huge female sports that women don't make this kind of money. So for females, disc golf is getting up there with, you know, like some of the WNBA players and these huge sports like that. So it's extremely exciting to see, and a huge congratulations to Kristen on back-to-back incredible seasons, but a grand slam. I mean, that's something that's very difficult to do. And with the talent in the sport and where we're going, that may not be accomplished again. So I hope she just really got to take in this entire year, because it was very, very magical.
Isaac Robinson, another player that we need to highlight, otherwise we're not doing our job, wins two PDGA majors, Champions Cup and Worlds, took a third at USDGC, was 12th at the European Open. It's not a bad result in the four majors there at all. $107,000 in earnings total for the year 2023. Jen, you and I both got to see quite a bit of Isaac Robinson playing. I mean, what can you say? Just somebody that's coming alive right now.
Yeah. And I just absolutely loved watching him play this year, because he was always, it seems, so cool and collective and such a great sport on cheering on his competitors and just very, very focused. And it was awesome to see him take down these huge wins. And I believe that $107,000 puts him as the highest male earning totals of a season. So another little check mark on his career. And I hope he continues on in 2024 with the same momentum.
Jen, I'm curious, just from your perspective, being inside the ropes, being someone who's used to the grind, we've had champions at the pro level that are very sort of, it's sort of business-like in a way, as they go about their business. And then now you've got some people that are winning on both the MPO and FPO sides, where when they win, a mob of close friends jumps on them on the 18th green. It's just a little bit of a different dynamic that we're seeing for some players. I'm not saying one is better than the other. Please don't mishear me on that. But I do think it's interesting that we're seeing some players that it appears, at least, maybe it's just because they're, some of them are younger, like they're really making a point to feed the community aspect side of having to tour. And, you know, you get your family and your friendships and stuff, and you get your support group right there around you. And it certainly seems to work very well for them.
Well, I think it's just the fact that you're living on the road. So the people that you travel with are your family, and they know how much hard work you've put into getting that accomplishment of the big win, hence why they come and just tackle and are so excited. It's a genuine excitement because they know what that person did and sacrificed to win that. And we're all genuinely very happy for our, you know, our friends and fellow competitors when they win one of those. And so I think it's just the growingness of, like, week after week after week out there on the road with your group. And so, yeah, they become family, and it's exciting out there for sure. Before we completely get away from the Throw Pink, there's also someone else I would like to mention. I had the honor of playing with Eliezra, our new big gun, I will say, big gun female out there, who I think will be a name that we start to hear and recognize and know who she is. She has incredible arm speed. She has incredible distance, and she has, you know, the package as well. She can putt. She has approaches. She has forehand, backhand. So another name I think in 2024 that we will see out there is the new FPO. What is she? 17? possibly 16, 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. So keep your eye out for Eliezra. I had a great time playing with her. She has a wonderful family. And I think that's what kind of made me think of it. We were talking about family,
right,
and the support that you have. She has a great family supporting her. So that's another name I'm excited to play with again next year.
So youth movement, we've been talking about the incredible youth movement at the PDGA now for several years. Let's talk veterans, though, that are having some resurgence. And I think the resurgence comes from a lot of things. One, I think it comes from getting our feet back under us after the just crazy whirlwind that was especially 2021 and then 2022. But I also think maybe it has to do with health, you know, players more and more focusing more holistically on their health. Lots of things factor in to, I think, some resurgences that we've seen from veteran players, like Yuli, for example. You mentioned him earlier.
Yeah, Paul had a slow start to the season, but I mean, he's an incredible player who's been around forever. He's been playing since he was a small child, so years and years of experience. And it just takes some time sometimes to get your game clicking on every single level, and it has to be on the and every aspect of the game has to be on to win these days. And so if you're just off just a little bit, those you're going to be out of the cash. I mean, the competition is so deep, but Paul was able to finally get things lined up and had an incredible finish to his season. So hopefully he can keep that going in 2024 as well and just get right back in there and be at the top of the leaderboard like we're used to seeing him.
Well, and another couple of players that maybe you could argue are similar, even though they're even younger, but they've been around a while and they began to show more and more and more consistency. Your friends, and now my friends, Henna and Evelina, right? The, you know, traveling partners from Finland. And we started to see them, instead of just seeing them on the leaderboard, maybe one day out of a 3 or 4 day tournament, we saw them get there and stay there and stay in the mix. And it feels like they are now members of that short list that we're just waiting to see breakthrough with the victory. You know, what did you see in Henna and Evelina during the course of the season?
Yeah, they were able to come over at the start of the season and had some, you know, getting the rust off, as you could say, because they do not get to play over in Finland during the winter. So it takes them a little bit to get going when they get over here. And then when they went back, I don't know how much of this I can actually say, but they were kind of warned that their visas were flagged. And so they had to miss a huge portion of the season, which is why they were unable to get the points to play in the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championships. They still almost qualified. Henna, I think, was the next in line to make the top 20. But they unfortunately had to miss a lot of the season, but they were diligent to continue to practice. So then once they did get their visas, they were able to come back and have a great finishing year. And their talent is incredible. So the more consistent that they're going to be able to play over here, not only in America, but also all the big events that will be happening in Europe, I think we're going to consistently see them on the lead or chase card every single tournament. Like, they're incredible players. The talent is there. They have a very long career ahead of them.
Well, let's move on from players now. Let's talk just any other of note topics from 2023 as we move into this offseason and head into 2024. One that I'll bring up because you are well connected to it and well connected to the person who runs it, the Disc Golf Masters Tour had its inaugural season this year. Callie McMorrin put that tour together. And I don't know if a lot of people know this, but in a nutshell, all of those events were B tiers this year. And if not all, most of them will be A tiers starting in the 2024 season, which is a big deal for prize money and things like that. So the Disc Golf Masters Tour, you know, did what it needed to do, which is establish itself and get a foundation going. And so we're going to see more of that, I think, in 2024, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, PDGA rule, you cannot just start an event as an A tier. It has to start as a B. And so that first year, you know, she kind of had her hands tied behind her back a little bit with what she could do, but she went above and beyond anyways and had an extremely successful season trying to do it all, not on her own, but basically on her own, really just getting out there and grinding to make it happen for the age protected divisions. And she is not in the age protected division. But she has always loved to see that and playing with, you know, learning the game and playing the game with her dad and some locals there in Tennessee. So she's just always had this huge heart for the Masters and felt like they were kind of, you know, pushed down out of the spotlight a little bit. And there's some incredible players and it continues to grow on who is in that age protected division. We've had some amazing players there all along, but now this divisions are really starting to grow. And not only by people who are just getting older, look at all the people this year. This just, it brought so much joy to me to see all these players who are, you know, were OGs in the game, those three-digit, four-digit numbers that are like, oh my gosh, this sport's still going. You know, they started it. They went and had their lives and their careers, and now they're retired, and now they're able to come back and play. And so it's just the perfect time to have a Masters Tour. And I am super excited to see this just grow for Callie and for all of us as Masters players. So I know she had an incredible time this week, and she said everything went off just as good as it could. And beautiful property that they played on. So I know she has a lot of great ideas and courses lined up already for 2024. So super excited. I hope I can get out there and play some of these next year. And I think it's just going to be a choice that we have to start making as her Masters Tour grows, is do we give up playing the open divisions and do we just fully commit to a Masters Tour? It's going to be really exciting that we have that option, and we'll just, as players, we're going to have a tough decision on where we sign up and play.
Well, and there's been this recent little surge in numbers of players that are Masters eligible. Yourself, Owen Scoggins, Holly Finley, Sarah Holcomb, Kale LaViska, Philo Brathwaite, a lot of players that people have heard of, even newer to disc golf people that say joined the PDGA after COVID. Well, these are names, you know, and they're Masters eligible. And so I think that momentum, of course, that's only going to keep building. You and I were talking off the mic earlier about, could we off the top of our heads name any well-known players? Of course, this is that you and I know a lot of players that maybe a lot of people don't, but are there any well-known players that are going to be Masters in 2024? And both of us are having a hard time coming up with very many. I'm sure we're missing someone or a couple of someones, but we do know there are a lot of players that were born in 1985, which means they'll be Masters eligible as of January 1, 2025. And I think that's just going to be more momentum for all Masters events, but PDGA Masters majors and all of the others.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting, and that'll give Callie another year to really just build the Masters Tour. So I agree, 2025, I think the Masters Tour hopefully is right up there with the Disc Golf Pro Tour, you know, and we can just both travel the country
and
putting on a show for everyone. Yeah, putting on a show for everyone who wants to come out and see these, just because they're Masters. They are definitely some incredible players, and they're doing some super cool stuff. So I think they will definitely have a following out there on the road as well.
Off the top of my head, 2025 Masters eligible players, Colleen, right? Jeremy Colleen, and Yuli, both, right?
Yep. And then Nate Sexton. And
that's right.
I don't know if we should drop people's ages, but there's definitely some big names that will be working their ways to playing age protected if they do choose.
There you go.
Another incredible thing that was taking place last week and is still taking place taking place this week is a couple of our incredible people that we know, Zoe Ann Dyke, Raven Klein, Chandler Fry, Dustin Keegan, and several others, made it over to Africa with Uplay to help grow the sport over there. And I think as of this weekend, Grant, they've already taught over 1,000 new wow. disc golfers in Africa. So something besides just competing, there's a lot of great stuff still happening this year.
And there's an article up right now at PDGA.com that talks in more detail about what Uplay is doing in Africa. I think one of my favorite details of the whole article, and you can look for it in there, is there is a disc golf course that's been placed on a wildlife preserve in, I believe it's Kenya. The basket that you see in the picture is a homemade basket.
Wow.
You will never in a million years guess that that was homemade. But it is. That is a homemade basket that is so well made. It just looks absolutely incredible. And it's part of the reason why there's a surge of interest in some African countries. Uganda is another one. Kenya, Zimbabwe, I think, just to name a few. And so, yeah, Uplay doing some big time work.
It's so awesome to see. This, our sports on every, is everywhere now. So...
Well, Jen, let's wrap it up here. As we always joke, there really is no off season. Pros do what they can to rest and recharge. Members of the media do what we can to rest and recharge. We start making plans and even buying tickets and things for travel in 2024. But in order to keep the rust from forming, there are a few events of note, as there always are here during November and December. And I think we'd be not doing our job if we didn't mention a few of the bigger ones. The Myrtle Beach Open, for example. Jen, you know all about that event. It's a really big event. There will be post-produced coverage of that event later on in the year, and it'll feature some pretty big names.
Yeah, that's one that I hope to play in, but by the time the season wrapped up, it's just like, no, I need to be home. So I've missed that one the last couple of years, but they are trying to make that just an incredible tournament, and I think they are. So they are attracting a lot of good players that I think some of them are just going to go ahead and stay in Florida after this is done. So I think these big events are convincing some of these players just to kind of post tent.
Yeah.
And stay in Florida.
Winter where it's warm, as they say. Cale LaVisca, Andrew Marweed, Evan Scott, Michael Johansson, of course, and then Macy Valadez, Sarah Holcomb, Rebecca Cox, Juliana Korver, just a few names, the pair of shoes, Paige and Grady, just a few names that'll be playing in the Myrtle Beach Open. And then some of those same players, plus Garrett Gerthy and a few more, will be playing in the South Florida Open. So there are some big events down here that feel like they're sort of setting the stage for a Florida start, at least to the Pro Tour season in 2024.
Right. And so that used to be, I feel like, Arizona, and all these players kind of started to move to Arizona for the off season because, let's face it, we have great weather through December and January and February. But now all these players are like, you know what? The beach is pretty nice too. And so with so many of those players kind of, I mean, literally buying houses and moving down there and staying there all off season, we're going to go ahead and start off the season
right
down there in Florida with the Disc Golf Pro Tour All-Stars event, and then following up with the first tour event of the year. So pretty cool to see. And I'm sure they will be continuing to post some awesome coverage and just stuff to their social media accounts all winter long, because the weather's going to be great. So finishing up and starting off the season in Florida, not too bad.
Well, hey, I mean, we did our job, I think, Jen. We talked about 2023 and we sort of recapped what we could here the latter part of the season, knowing that we're missing a ton of other things we could have talked about. But the fact of the matter is, it's full steam ahead to 2024. Lots of off-season preparations already happening. Lots of things going on at the PDGA. More and more things that maybe used to be done a few months in advance are being done even more months, if not years in advance, because of just how big things are getting and how many moving parts there are. So I know I will be focused on a lot of that. You'll be focused on just getting your body and your psyche and your family and all of those things ready for another year of you being literally all over the place. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be here before we know it. I think I saw the other day somebody posted we're 18 weeks away from the first Pro Tour event, which means we're about the same away from the biggest, you know, PDGA A tiers and B tiers that helps to sort of start the calendar year off. Wow.
Yeah. And I'm excited to see how, you know, like we talked about staying healthy all season long and taking a few weeks off to save, you know, that strong play towards the end of the season. And we saw a few players like Haley King skip a couple of events just to build her strength and rest her body. Not that she was injured, being healthy, taking off, and, you know, Rick taking off some, like we mentioned. So are we going to see players skipping events to save in, you know, energy and strength and, you know, build up their game? Or are they going to grind it out and play every single event to make sure they qualify for the biggest event of the year, being the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championships? So as golf grows, I think it's going to be interesting the next few years to see how we pick and choose our seasons and just how much every... Oh, hold on, not like that. And just how big our sport's going to grow. And like you said, they're major events. This is like planning a wedding now, you know, like you plan these special events for like months and months and months and almost a full year in advance, because you're going to have so many people there. You're going to have such a big production. Like, it used to be one event a year that was like that. And now it's almost, Grant, getting to where every single tournament is trying to make it this huge special event. So I'm super excited, even just to be a part of it. And even if I was watching from the sidelines, just to see where we're going. Yep. Yeah, our sport's going in the right direction, and the next few seasons is going to be pretty special.
A rising tide lifts all boats, and we're seeing the trickle-down effect too at amateur events and junior events and women's only events. And that's going to be really fun to watch that growth continue as well. Even as the surge maybe of new PDGA members sort of levels off after COVID, which is something we all naturally, if anybody's a student of economics or any other similar science, knows that's going to happen. But organizational health, you know, all of that, really sound and really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what else to talk about, Jen.
Nope. Let's get into prepping for 2024. 2023 was incredible and so special. So yeah, let's just start. Grant, let's get ready. It's going to happen.
We've rambled long enough. Well, Jen, as we wrap this episode of PDGA Radio up, let's go ahead and tease a few things to come on PDGA Radio in the next 2 or 3 weeks, talking a little bit about the off-season in particular. And in that, there are topics that are important for tournament directors as they learn and grow and figure out what to do. We've got Seth Muncy coming on, talking about safety and all kinds of other things related to putting on a great event. Of course, he's got a front row seat to doing that with both the Disc Golf Pro Tour and some work he does for the PDGA. We've also got some things for you, the player, talking about what are you going to do during these chilly months, at least if you live in the Northern Hemisphere, to prepare your body and your mind for another season of disc golf.
Absolutely. So enjoy a few days rest and then get ready to start prepping for 2024. Thanks for listening, everyone.
See ya.